The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them. These words from the Gospel of Matthew that we just heard introduce the Sermon on the Mount. In today's Gospel, we hear only the beginning of the Lord's Sermon, the Beatitudes. In the next two Sundays leading up to Lent, we will hear a little more from the Lord's Sermon. The Lord's Sermon is perfect as a model for Christian living. In the year 391, during a time when preaching was the primary responsibility of the bishop, and priests were not given the role of preacher, a newly ordained priest was asked by his bishop, Valerius, to have the responsibility of preaching in the city of Hippo in northern Africa. This was the first time in Africa that a priest was given the responsibility of preaching. The young priest's name was Augustine, a Roman rhetorician whose conversion story continues to touch people to this day. Before he began his preaching assignment, St. Augustine asked his bishop if he could have a few months of freedom to prepare himself for his preaching assignment. Bishop Valerius gave permission, and for the next few months, St. Augustine spent his time in prayerful, reflective study of the Bible. The fruit of this time of prayer and the collection of his first homilies is now known as St. Augustine's Commentary on the Sermon of the Mount. St. Augustine, a new convert to the faith and a newly ordained priest, did not simply study and preach the Lord's Sermon. He sought to personally live what Jesus taught. St. Augustine said, "I think that whoever meditates in earnest love upon the Lord's Sermon on the Mount will find there a perfect model for Christian living in respect to the most fitting way to act." For us, as contemporary Christians, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount holds a special place in our hearts. Now, we don't have a few months to spend meditating together on the Lord's Sermon. We barely have a few minutes. As a result, our depth of knowledge and call to live the Beatitudes has suffered. Many of us recognize the Lord's Sermon as the model for how we ought to live our lives. When we hear the Beatitudes, we experience a nice warmth and lovely sentiments of being kind Christian people. We think of St. Francis and want to sing, "Make me an instrument of your peace." And that's good, but be careful. We must be careful to avoid extremes that would devalue the Lord's Sermon. There are voices in our society that endanger our understanding of the Lord's sermon. One such voice reduces the Lord's sermon to pious platitudes, a shallow life of moral sentimentality. This voice says things like, "As long as I meant well, it can't be wrong," or "As long as you mean well, God understands. That's what really matters." This is a sinister lie. It is a lie that reduces a moral act to intention at the exclusion of the act itself. It is a lie because it says that the only criterion for a good act is a good intention. But that very innocent sounding line of thinking is what has led places like Canada to legally murder innocent elderly and disabled people. The Lord's sermon teaches us a way of life that is not so easy. To be poor in spirit means to have no attachments to the things of this world. It means to be indifferent to home, food, money, status, and entertainment. It means that your happiness in some way does not depend on these things. Jesus teaches, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Hunger and thirst describe something deeper than a passing desire. To have real hunger is a pain the body experiences when it needs nourishment. Jesus is describing a person who has a deep need, a powerful longing for righteousness. The Lord's sermon invites each of us to live the lives of the saints. After all, it is the saints who exemplify for us what a life of beatitude looks like. The beaming, joyful face of Mother Teresa came from someone who gave everything to serve Jesus in the poorest of the poor. The joyous, fatherly face of St. John Paul II came from a man who mourned deeply the horrors of the 20th century. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and he desires to be with you and to sanctify your life through his many and generous gifts. He is inviting you to be a saint, to live a life of beatitude. As he was dying on the cross, Jesus said, "I thirst." Mother Teresa understood these words as Jesus' deep longing to save souls. Jesus thirsts for you. He passionately longs to be the love of your life. This is why he chose the cross, to say to the world, "Behold, behold my love for you." And he does love us. He gives us his body and blood in the Holy Eucharist to be our nourishment, to strengthen and sustain us in our difficulties, to unite himself in love with us. How can we respond to such an unmerited gift? How can we express our gratitude to the Lord? He tells us. He tells us how we are to respond. He tells us in his sermon, the one he preached to a crowd on a mountain. Perhaps it is like St. Augustine said, "Whoever meditates in earnest love upon the Lord's Sermon on the Mount will find there a perfect model for Christian living in respect to the most fitting way to act." Perhaps we ought to spend some time in prayerful meditation on the perfect preacher's homily. Jesus, nourish us with your word and your Eucharist. Help us to grow in our love for you. Amen.